Can anyone hear me? All right. Everyone but Brother West. Psalm 85. We will read verses 1 to 13. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, Lord, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Let's pray. Father, tonight we bow before you. We thank you for this opportunity to open the scriptures once again today on the Lord's Day. Father, we thank you that we can come to your house, come to worship you, Lord, with your people. And Father, we pray tonight for all of us, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive to the Word of God, and that, Father, you would work in us in a powerful way. Lord, that you would prepare us spiritually for this week, that we would walk away tonight with our hearts prepared for the work of God in a deeper way in our lives. Father, we need you. We need to be revived. We need revival in us. We need revival among us. We need revival in our land, in our churches, in your people. Father, help us tonight to learn some things about revival. And Father, that it would also prepare us better for this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get ready for this week, let's understand this. Your attitude about revival will determine a lot this week. How you will be affected, and even if you will be affected. You see, if we go into the revival meetings with the wrong attitudes, the truth is, we will come away totally unaffected. Wouldn't it be sad, you know, to have prayed about this? This has been on our prayer list for a while. It's been on the calendar. Wouldn't it be sad to have prayed about this and to have, you know, invited a preacher and truly, you know, inviting other people out and still walk away? You know, have him come and preach seven messages. He's going to preach seven messages to us and still walk away unaffected. Do you think that's God's will? No, it isn't. And I think the reason we come away unaffected is because we don't see the need for revival, right? Maybe, as we said in the morning a little bit, maybe you're satisfied where you're at spiritually. So why would you want to change anything? But remember what Paul said in Philippians 3. He said, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. You can't ever say that you're in a... You can't ever be satisfied in your spiritual life. You have to keep growing. Keep reaching forth. Pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is perfection. That is glory. That is the image of Christ. So we must strive for that. But sadly, if we have a wrong attitude, we will quench the Holy Spirit. You know, I hope... I realize, you know, we have to teach our children and young people that during church... You know, if you get sidetracked in your mind and in your heart and you're somewhere else, you could be quenching the Spirit of God. I don't want to be guilty of quenching the Spirit of God. We need to really teach everyone, turn your phones off and silence your phones. Don't disturb anyone. You know, don't be distracted in the services. Don't let your mind drift and wander. Because you don't want to quench the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is everywhere. So He knows what we're doing. We don't fool anyone. So listen, we need the right attitudes when it comes to revival. But let me give you a warning. You can come away negatively affected. And that's where I think... What we're talking about, you know, the Word of God can draw you or drive you. You could say it that way. The Word of God can soften you, but if your response is right, but also if you have the wrong attitude, it will harden you. So we need always to be careful how we come into God's presence. Whether it is our Bible reading, whether it is at home, right? In your prayer time, your Bible reading. But also in worship services, when you come to the house of God to worship God. We are here to honor Him and glorify Him, and our attention must be fixed upon the Lord. And I think of revival week, revival services. Whether we truly, if we have the right attitude, or if we have the wrong attitude, we will not get into God's presence. If we have the right attitude, we can get into God's presence. And what can God do with us? The blessings. So do not quench the Spirit by a negative attitude. Do not harden your heart or allow the Word of God to just drive you or, you know, harden you in any way because of your wrong attitude. But aren't you thankful we can come away miraculously affected? Amen. You know, isn't God this way? Isn't God who has always worked in the Old Testament? God works in spite of us. Amen. God is merciful. God is gracious. And I think of all the people of God from Adam and Eve all the way through the patriarchs and, you know, all through the kings and the judges and the kings and the prophets. We have to really come away with understanding. Think of the apostles. We come away with the understanding God is merciful. God is gracious. And if we will just get our hearts right and have the right attitude, He will show up. He will do a great work. So what happens if we have the right attitudes? There are some benefits here. As I mentioned this morning, you know, we may be blind to some areas of our lives that we think, you know, I've been Christian, you know, 42 years, and, you know, I know what I'm doing now, by now, and so No. No one knows. We could be blind. And so when we truly come with the right attitude, the Holy Spirit can uncover those areas that we're blind to. Those areas of sin that we've been accustomed to just kind of, you know, living with and accepting, well, we're sinners and, you know, we're never going to be perfect and, you know, not anyone really has victory and all these things, excuses we make. We should cry out with David, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me." You know, that's what we have to do this week. Cry unto God. Call out unto God. And ask him if there be any wicked way. And lead us in his way. Isn't that what he's talking about here? Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen. God's going to set us in the way of his steps. Also, we will right wrong relationships. You know, a lot of times, God can't bring revival because we're not right. We're not right in our home. We're not right in our relationships, in our marriage. We're not right with children. Children are not right with their parents. Members aren't right one with another. You're not right with your neighbors. You're angry at your neighbors. You may not be right with your coworkers. You may just be in a wrong relationship, and God says, no, I want you to right that relationship. So if we can't be spoken to about these things and sensitive about these things, how will God ever reach that soul that's so blind in sin if we can't find a way in our heart to be merciful to others and understand they are captive by Satan? That's the truth of the matter. They're blinded. Some people don't even know what they're doing. We're talking to the West today. They had mercy on us and fed us some beans and rice. No. They had a little more in the pot than that, amen. It was good stuff. But they were mentioning, you know, a family member that has bipolar issues, and you know, we still have to love those people even though they hurt themselves, they hurt others, they truly, you know, get themselves in trouble. So we need to be open to these relationships around us. But if the Holy Spirit can't work in that, brethren, because we're too already set in our ways and too hardened about these things, not sensitive enough. Also, if we have the right attitude, our spiritual eyes will be enlightened, amen? Isn't that what we need? We need enlightenment from God. We need understanding, spiritual understanding. Not because we know more than everyone or we've read a lot of books and encyclopedias and history books, which is good. Nothing wrong with studying. And I believe in studying. I believe you should study. But the point is, without spiritual enlightenment, that's what's running our country. Educated people. That's what's running this economy. That's what's running our local governments. Educated people with no spiritual enlightenment. And I wouldn't want the job. But I believe someone filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Word of God, would make a better president than what we have right now. Because there's a lot to say about common sense and spiritual leadership by the Holy Spirit. Obviously, you'd be feeling like Joshua, you know. You'd be feeling like Moses. Not me, Lord. No way. You know, and that's the way. And the problem is, we got too many people in high office thinking they know everything and they know everyone in the world and they got all these good relationships and they've built all these, you know, ins and outs and they know the system, so they're the best leaders. No. Sometimes it's good to have someone who just says, God, help me every day. I don't know what I need you every day. I need your wisdom. I need leadership. I need, you know, the right people to counsel me. Let me seek help. That's who we need. Amen. But until God opens the eyes, we will never walk right in our Christian lives and we'll never be able to serve Him the way He wants without that enlightenment. We need, you know, if we have the right attitude, we can get a renewed sense of God's presence in our lives. Isn't that what God wants? When you have that assurance. We were out on visitation with Raul yesterday. We met a guy from Nigeria. His dad was a pastor in Nigeria. And he's, you know, pretty much got the idea. He's in a church over here 7 years. And he probably grew up in church. But he did not know salvation and know Jesus Christ. He didn't have assurance of salvation. He had no assurance of God's presence in his heart and his life. That's a pretty sad thing. You know, when you live without assurances, when you live without presence, understanding God's presence is with us, God's presence is guiding me, God's presence is directing me. You know, if we have a good attitude, we will be able, we will much more likely be used of God to affect the lives of other people for the glory of God. Amen. All of this is built into revival and what God can do in our hearts. And I hope you get a vision of what God can do in you. And then come to our text here in verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Can you pray that prayer? Amen. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? God has a purpose in revival. Look at His blessings. We know the history. And the more you read your Bible, isn't it a pattern that God and God's men have to remind the people constantly, look where God brought you from. Look what God did for you. Look what God did bringing you out of... I mean, how many times do you read about the mighty hand of God bringing them out of Egypt? Reminding them, look what God did. And that's what He's doing here. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Amen. This is when they returned back. Amen. From the captivity. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Amen. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. And then he says in verse 4, turn us, O God, of our salvation. Turn us. Isn't that another prayer? Turn us. God, we need revival. We need a work of God. We need God to turn us, God to revive us. And then he says, show us, amen, verse 7. Show us Thy mercy. I didn't even... That's a good message there. Turn us. Revive us. Show us. But I'm not preaching that one tonight. We need revival. God's people need revival. Let me give you some reasons right out of this passage. We need revival to restrain the righteous anger of God. That's what he says in verse 3. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger to cease, toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Verse 5. Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Aren't you thankful, God? Now, God doesn't have a temperament problem like man. Thank God he's patient and long-suffering. But God does get angry at sin. And God hates sin with a holy hatred. In fact, the Bible says this, and I know sometimes we need a good dose of balance in the Bible, okay? And I just want to give you a little balance right now. I know we go around telling everyone God loves you. But let me read this verse. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Why don't you start out with this? God's angry at you. Instead of God loves you. Maybe you can end with, look what God did for you in his love. But he's angry with you. He's angry with the wicked every day. Because he's holy. You see, sometimes we just get these pet sayings. We hear it all over. You know, God loves you. God died for you. Pray this prayer. There's more to the gospel. There's more to God than just that he loves us. He's holy. He's righteous. And he is angry with the wicked every day. That's our God. That's the God of the Bible. And you need to get right with him. And there's only one way. Jesus Christ. You know, we always say this. Get people lost. Before they can get saved, they must be lost. They must be convinced they're lost. They just don't want a fire escape out of hell. Who wants? I can get every child in the church to pray. Do you want to go to hell? No. Do you want to be in heaven? Yes. Okay, pray this prayer. All right, I'll pray. That doesn't make them saved. They need to understand that they're sinners. They need to understand that they will die because of their sin. They need to understand that they need to repent of their sin. And until they understand that, they cannot be saved by praying a prayer. Because they must come to Jesus the same way you and I do. And that is coming to him with a broken heart, a desire to be saved, because he's the only one that can forgive us and save us, and cry out to him for salvation like every other sinner. So we must be preaching the truth about our God and about salvation. This is where God needs to work in our hearts, amen? We need to understand that let us, certainly, God can be angry at sin. And God can be angry at sin in our lives. Sometimes we don't like to hear that, do we? You remember over there in Hebrews chapter 12? This is a pretty powerful passage. And let me find the right text. Chapter 10, amen. You You remember the great revival that you ever read about, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God by Jonathan Edwards? You ever read that book? Ever read that message? It is available. You can find that on the internet. But there's something here, brethren, that we need to look at in verse 30, chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore that your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. The just shall live by faith. Remember, we preached about that in Habakkuk. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So here he's preaching, and very clearly, the Lord is going to judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And the idea, brethren, is this. Do we have that fear? Do we have that fear? Amen? And there's just a lot that for us to fear God, and we need to really get back to know who our God is. And he's not happy with us when we're in sin. He's not happy with us that even Peter said, judgment must begin at the house of God. And he said this, if the righteous scarcely be saved. Scarcely. You know, the idea is, hey, God's going to judge us if we don't get right with him. And that's why revival must come. We want to see God's anger turned away. I think of our nation. We would love to see God's anger turn away from our nation. Amen. But I always believe this has to start in God's churches. Revival has got to start with us. And then I believe it can spread like fire, wildfire, out into the communities and even into our higher places in leadership, businesses, whatever. God can work in a powerful way in hearts, but it has to begin with God's people. We want fruit. Don't we want fruit? We want fruit of souls being saved, but if we're not revived, how good are we going to be for God? What kind of instrument are we going to be for God to be able to use us out in these communities? So we need revival to restrain the righteous anger of God. But verses 6 to 8, back in our text, I like the verse 6. We need revival to restore the rejoicing of God's people. Amen. Sometimes I wonder what's in your hearts, brethren. What's in your heart? You know, do you ever get happy in God's house? Do you ever feel like shouting? Do you ever feel like saying praise God and amen and glory to God? Do you rejoice? When you hear about churches being established, does that change your feelings inside of you? Do you feel joy of 27 souls getting saved? Does that do something in your heart? Listen, we need to rejoice as God's people. If you don't feel anything and nothing changes in your heart and your thoughts, there's something wrong. You need revival. we can get happy about basketball games, recitals, piano, instruments, singing, a bonus in pay, a pay raise, time off, birthday parties. But do we rejoice in God? Do we rejoice in God's work? Do we rejoice in God and our fellowship with Him? Do we ever get happy when we're alone with God? That's a good test. You ever get happy when you're alone with God? You ever start rejoicing in your heart when He starts speaking to you from His Word and He gets a hold of you? You know, I realize some people express things outwardly, some people don't. But you ought to know you're rejoicing, amen? And I think rejoicing ought to show at least a little bit on your face, amen? So I think we need revival to restrain the righteous anger of God. We need revival to restore the rejoicing of God's people. Number three, we need revival to restore an awareness of God's presence. That's what he's saying here, verses 6 to 8. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice? Show us thy mercy, O Lord. Grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Amen. For he will speak peace unto his people, unto his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Amen. Brethren, obviously we will hear God speak, not in audible voices, but through his word, he speaks to you. Even preaching should speak to you. We know, we've read these verses about God searching our hearts, right? And Hebrews 4, remember, it talks about the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Isn't it not? Pierces the dividing asunder of the soul, the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I mean, it's powerful. And then it says in the next, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Don't we need a real awareness of God's presence in our lives? How much of our lives are lived as if God, how much in your life is lived as if God doesn't see you? How much different would your life be if Jesus were following you 24 hours a day? How would it affect things in your home, your talk? How would it affect your walk, your attitude, the things you engage in, your activities? What you get involved in, your actions. How would it make things different at work? How would it affect your talk at work, your walk at work, your witness at work? How much difference would it make at church? How would it affect our worship? Would it affect our attendance? Would it affect our punctuality? Would it affect our giving? Would it affect our singing? Would it affect our attitude? Would it affect our spirit? Listen, I'm saying if Jesus was with you 24/7, would it affect these things? How would it affect your service for the Lord? How would it affect the way you prepare for what you do for the Lord? How would it affect how you pray about these things? How would it affect the way you represent the Lord to others? How much would it make a difference in our thought life? Amen. Psalm 44:21 says, "For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." Psalm 98, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance." Psalm 90, verse 8. So we live as if God doesn't see us in all these areas. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is with you 24/7. Jesus is walking with you 24/7. Jesus listens to you 24/7. Everything you say, he knows what you think. He knows how you feel. He knows your inner thoughts and intents, attitudes and motives. This is a reality, and how much we need to be aware of this. That's why we need revival. We need to start living the reality that Jesus is present at all times with us. And then I think an outflowing is this. Wow. What could God do if we are revived? Amen. What can we see from God? And that's what I think. Certainly, we would see God's salvation, verse 9. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Praise God for that. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Amen. And I believe all this has been met in Christ. God can be merciful to us because Jesus died for us. That's the only way. Amen. He paid for us. God can still act in righteousness and have peace because Jesus is our righteousness. Wow. These verses will preach too. Amen. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. Amen. And our hand shall yield her increase. Our land shall yield her increase. Boy, we need that. Righteousness shall go before him, Jesus, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen. Do you see that righteousness will restore the righteous activities of God? We know he's at work, but don't you want to be a part of it? Don't you want to see it? Don't you want to be aware? Hey, I'm part of God's work. This is what he's doing. I'm in the middle of it. Amen. Wow. God is active. He's not passive. We should be active too if the Lord is in our life. Amen. We have to ask ourselves, is God actively working in us? If not, we are not right with God. Plain and simple. We need revival. If we are right with God, then we will have victory. He will speak to us. We will see his hand. We'll see righteousness. Amen. You see, God is a righteous God, and his works are righteous. I mean, righteousness. So we're going to see the salvation of God, his saving activity, verse 9. We're going to see his sanctifying activity. He's going to fill the land with his glory. He's going to shower his mercy and truth, faithfulness. He's going to work his righteousness in our lives and give us peace. His truth is going to flourish in our hearts and through us to the earth. Amen. Righteousness is going to flow down from heaven. God's going to give every good gift and every perfect gift that comes from our Father above. Amen. And then we know righteousness shall go before him. Hey, Jesus is coming. We're preparing the way if we would be a part of this work. We're going to be righteous. We're going to live righteous. We're going to preach righteousness. People are going to get saved. They're going to become righteous. And Jesus is coming. Amen. Do we need revival? Yes. You have to say that. Can you answer that for yourself? We need revival. We need it in our land. We need it in our lives. Personally. We need a fresh renewal of God's presence. Amen. God's power in our lives. God's work. We see in this passage, Psalm 85, if you meditate on it, yes, revival will restrain the righteous anger of God. Revival will restore a real awareness of God's presence. Righteousness will cause the people of God to rejoice again in Him. Amen. And God's righteousness and his righteous actions and activities will be in and through us. And we will see that as part of our own lives and ministry in this earth. I hope this gives you a vision for what God can do this week in you and in me. In our lives and in our church. Go back and read Psalm 85 on your own. Go back and pray the prayers, amen. Turn us, O God of our salvation. Show us thy mercy, O Lord. Revive us again. Amen. Cry out. Cry out to the Lord. And aren't you thankful he hears? This is his will, you know. This is what he wants. He's on our side, amen. And he will do these things in us if we truly want them and truly desire them. And I hope that's your prayer tonight and your prayer for this week, your prayer for the preachers, prayer for this church, prayer for our country. All the God's churches, true churches of the Lord. But it has to start with us. You have to say, Lord, start with me. We all have to say that. We have to get alone with God and be real and sincere with God. Start with me. Amen. Let's stand, if you will, every head.